online with us. I know there's a lot of places have children church, and that's good if it's their lot and their ministry. But I'd love to have your children up here and see what's going on. They learn enough about Barney and who's that train guy? Thomas. Amen. Learn enough about Thomas. And then they learn something about Jesus. Amen. And that new one, Dora. Man, Dora. I got a grandbaby. Amen. Amen. Well, Job chapter number 3, he said something, verse 25, I've had underlined in my Bible. Job said, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. That which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Thank you for standing this morning. I'd like to preach on this simple thought on when trouble comes. When trouble comes. Matter of fact, I'm not preaching on if trouble comes. I'm just simply saying, Brother Gerald, when trouble comes. Now there is a description of trouble. The Bible said that the patriarchs of our faith, they've been through the fire, through the storms, that we may look unto them and they'd be a testimony for the grace of God. I'm glad there's some folks in this congregation this morning that I can look around and they stood the trials and the fires of life. Brother Mike, it lets me know if they got through it, I can get through it. Lets me know when their children did this and they reacted that way that God took care of it and they got through it. When they lost their job, you know what? God sent them another job and they got through it. And so this morning, there is a description of trouble. I looked that word up, and I know some of you think of trouble and you see a face. Well, trouble is a fear, a noise, or a rage, or a commotion, or wrath. And so the description of trouble, I want to say Job had some finance trouble. In Job 1 and verse 14, now by the way, you can read just for the sake of time, in the first chapter, you'll find out there was nobody like Job in all of the East. He was a man that lived upright and he was perfect and he feared God and he eschewed evil. He ran from evil. And so we see now, in spite of a man living for Jesus and dedicated to his church, paying his tithes and reading his Bible, he said, trouble came. And so I don't know what people's going to do with these TV boys about, well, if you'll just give your heart to Jesus and that's the most wonderful thing you'll ever do, or if you just pay your tithes to their ministry, and if you do this, then we're going to promote to you health and wealth. But my friend, that is not in the Word of God. Because we find here that Job had some finance trouble. He said in chapter 1, verse 14, "There come a messenger to Job, said the ox were plowing, and the asses were feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yeah, they've slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you." He said, while he was yet speaking, there came another. Said, "The fire of God's fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed all of them, and I only am escaped alone to tell you." Job had some finance trouble. Isn't it amazing how finances comfort us? We can say whatever we want to say, honey, but if you got a stack full of money saved up, it's comforting to know that if something blows up, you can buy your way out. Something comes up, you can pay your way out. But let me tell you, there's coming a payday someday. If you don't have the blood of the Lord Jesus, you'll not pay your way out of hell. The Bible says you must be born again. And so he had some finance trouble. And, you know, I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I mean, financial troubles come to all. But aren't you glad you know the God that owns the cattle of a thousand hills? I like what the old country preacher said. Not only does he own the cattle of a thousand hills, but he owns all the taters under the hill. Somebody say amen right there this morning. So the description of trouble, there was some finance trouble. And then in verse 18, he had some family trouble. Has anybody ever had family trouble? Won't take you long. You go to reunion, walk out of there, you've had some family trouble. Amen. They didn't like your potato salad. You got a problem now. They didn't brag on your fried chicken. So now you got issues. The problem was the issue was with you. It wasn't with nobody else. Don't get quiet on me now. Family trouble. And in this family trouble, the Bible said that he lost all of his young'uns. He said in verse 18, he is yet speaking, there came another, said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in your eldest brother's house. And behold, there come a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. Fell on the young men, they're dead. And I only am escaped long to tell you. Now, we all have family trouble. And not only did he have some problems with his children, but he had some with his wife. Thou said chapter 2 and verse number 9, then said his wife to him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now, ladies, we better be careful that we encourage our husband and not discourage our husband. Here, I'd hate to know I had a wife. I just lost everything I had. And now she said, well, just cuss God and die. My goodness, I'm glad I got something better than that to go home to tonight. Somebody say amen right there. Praise God, boy. She is a friend. I thank the Lord for my wife this morning. And I ain't henpecked. Some used to henpeck. They's crack corn all around through your house. But honey, I'm telling you this morning, I thank God for my wife. She's a godly woman. Somebody say amen. And boy, she loves her husband, and she does the things this Bible says on account of her husband. Some of you ladies ever get a hold of that, it'd help you down where you live. We ought to encourage our husband. He don't need to come home and hear all this nagging and agging and going, you ought to encourage your husband. Quit pumping him full of poison and trying to sway him in a direction. Amen. Just because he don't want you out running with the girls and the boys, keep your mouth hushed. Stay in your place. Serve God. Raise them children. Amen. Cook them good homemade meals. Somebody say amen like that. Lord, some of you ladies have had to build a homemade biscuit, it'd just be over, wouldn't it? I mean, all you know about them pop-ems, you live off pop-ems. You get a can out and you pop them and they pop, and then you pop him if things don't go your way. But, oh, this morning, thank God, hey, we can have family trouble, can't we? And then in this description of trouble, not only did he have finance trouble and family trouble, but he had friend trouble. The Bible said, my goodness, who needs friends like these? Job 2, verse 11. He said, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that's come upon him, they come every one from his own place. And they said, they made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Verse 12. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not. Now, sometimes your friends just don't know what you're going through. They knew, I'm going to tell you what, everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of him. You say, well, preacher, how come you sit down? Preacher, why aren't you running and a shout? I'm trying. But I'm going to tell you what, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. There's one that sticketh closer than a brother. And I'm glad I know the other brother. I'm glad I know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Honey, when your family walks out and your friends walk out, there is a Jesus that stay by your side. All you got to do is stand on the concepts of this book, and He'll walk with you every mile of the way. Boy, what a friend I have in Jesus. He walks with me, talks with me, puts food on my table, gas in my car. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Jesus is the most wonderful friend I have ever found. Thank God He come my way. I remember the morning Brother Troy got saved. You know what I preached on? Jesus, the friend of sinners. Boy, ain't you glad He loves sinners this morning. Hey, a lot of churches don't want sinners, but oh, Holy Ghost, send sinners down to Liberty Baptist Church and let them be saved by the amazing grace of the Almighty God of heaven. I'm glad, honey, He loves sinners this morning. He died for sinners. He must love sinners because He died for sinners. And so we see this description of trouble. It come by finances and friends and family. But then I think he had some fear of trouble. You say, I ain't scared of that. Oh, they some things I know would scare you. In Job 3, verse 25, the text, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. That which I was afraid of has come unto me. You say, I ain't afraid of nobody. Well, you just ain't seen somebody yet. I had a brother, had a big ego one time. He was in the police business. He told me and my wife, he said, it ain't a man in Tennessee I can't put in the car. I said, you just ain't run up on the right man yet. Some of you boys think you can go bear hunting with a switch, honey, but let me tell you this morning, there's something else down there that you'll run up against that'll show you just how little you really are. So he had some fear of trouble. Even though I do know Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. And then he had some faith trouble. The Bible said in Job chapter 3, verse 11, be careful now, be careful when you hear men say, I started to take my life, and you say, well, I can't get there. You better be careful. You better read your Bible. Because one of the greatest men of the East, one feared God, said it. In Job 3:11, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? By the way, when he is in the womb, he was a baby. He was a soul. And America's in trouble with God this morning because they're killing upward of 4,000 babies a day. It's a payday coming someday, America! Jeremiah said, in the womb God made me. God marvelously made me in the womb. Boy, I'm against abortion this morning. I'm going to tell you what, if there's life in your womb, God allowed it to be there. Leave it alone. Leave your hands off of it. God knows what He's doing this morning. So there's the description of trouble. But then, number two, there's a dispatch of trouble. Job found out that the devil don't send trouble. In Job 23, verse number 14, the Bible said, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Boy, I'm glad I serve a God that knows what He's doing. And I want you to read this in Job 23 and 11. For he performeth the thing that's appointed for me, and many such things are with him. I believe in divine providence this way. I don't believe in any accidents in the child of God. I believe that a man can get out of the will of God and cause things to happen. We're not robots. We have responsibility. Amen. But honey, let me tell you something. There's some things that's appointed for me that I will not get by. And there's some things appointed for you that you will not get by. Matter of fact, the Bible says that
that we have in Job 14, verse 5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Now, out yonder somewhere, Brother Gerald, there's a line. I ain't going across it. I don't care. You can put every hose on me, every life support there is. Out yonder somewhere, there's a line, and I will not get across it. But one thing I can know, I ain't got to go across that line by myself. I've got somebody living in me. Hey, the Lord is my shepherd, thank God. In the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thank God, I won't have to go to the graveyard alone, glory to God. But there is a bound I cannot pass, young people. I can't tell you you won't live to my age, because I don't know that you will. Sir, I can't tell you if you'll live the next Saturday. I don't know how many funerals I've had in the ministry, way too many. But I can tell you this, friend. I don't know of a one that knowed that I'd be preaching their funeral the day that I was preaching it. But God in heaven knows. And so the best thing you can do is be saved by the grace of God and know that your name's written down in the Lamb's. I ain't asking you if you've been baptized. I don't ask you if you're a member of this church. I want to know, have you been born again and your sins are gone by the grace of God? Oh, there is bounds we can't pass. So we see here in this dispatch of trouble, he said, God, he said, I done found out that you perform the thing that's appointed for me. All right. Now, Job 2, hardly getting along. You'll notice in verse number 9, there's a sovereign hand. In the dispatch of trouble, there's a sovereign hand. In Job 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says this in verse 10, what shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? So the dispatch of trouble. Sometimes God says, okay, it's time to dispatch trouble. It'll come by a sovereign hand. Then Job 6, verse 1, it will come by sorrowful hurt. Trouble hurts, amen. And Job 6, and verse number 1, the Bible said, but Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up. Watch your Bible. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. It will be a sorrowful hurt. And then in Job 19, you say, well, preacher, just shake all that off. Yeah. Well, he found himself in a somber hold. In Job 19, in verse number 8, the dispatch of trouble. He said, he hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He said, I'd love to get out of my trouble. But he said, it's got me fenced up, and I can't get around it, can't get over it, can't get under it, can't get through it. He said, there is a somber hold on me. He said, I can't pass. And then he says this, he has set darkness in me. He stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He destroyed me on every side. He said, I'm gone. Mine hope hath they removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me. Verse 13, he put my brethren far from me. Mine acquaintances are verily strange from me. Verse 14, my kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. There's a description of trouble. There's a dispatch of trouble. See, there's times that God says, okay, you need trouble. The Bible said, think it not strange concerning these fiery trials, as the manner of some is. He said, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations or different colored trials. Like, hey, folks, there's going to be some Blue Mondays. There's going to be some Dark Tuesdays. There's going to be some red Friday. There's going to be some times in our life trouble comes, but God sends trouble.
You say, oh, that goes against anything I've ever heard. You better read your Bible. God sends trouble.
And I'm going to tell you what. That leads me to the next point. Not only the description of trouble and the dispatch of trouble, but there's a design in trouble. Why would God send us trouble? I mean, you're just rocking along and doing fine, and all of a sudden, trouble comes. And you ain't even open the door. He come under the door. You ain't even open the window. He come right through the window. I can tell you why. Because there's a design in trouble that only trouble can make. And to every child of God, I want you to notice what Job found. In chapter 23, and verses 1 through 9, he found out that trouble, this design of trouble, God is developing our faith. Faith that is not tested is faith that cannot be trusted. You see, God's going to test your faith. God's going to show you whether you mean business or not. You get up in the morning and you're hurting. You don't come to church, you know what? Hurt's got you. Your faith lets you down. What are you saying this morning? Oh my goodness, faith that is tested. Only then can it be trusted. You say, well, I know I got more faith to do that. How you know? Because you done come through something. But you better be careful how you say you're going to react to something that ain't got there yet because you don't know yet. Well, it develops our faith. 23. And he says, verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. He said, I'd order my cause before him, and I'd fill my mouth with arguments. You know what Job's saying? He said, God, if I had you a few minutes, I'd just tell you really what I feel. He said, I'd know the words which he'd answer me and understand what he'd say to me. Would he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. Then verse 8, behold, he said, I go forward, and he's not there. I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doeth work, but I cannot behold him. He hath himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Let me tell you, just because you can't see him don't mean he's not there. Brother Adam told me something the other day that I realized. He said, Pastor, he said, you know when them Hebrew boys was in the fire? He said, I'm not sure that they seen the Lord, but everybody else seen the Lord. Matter of fact, old King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, lo, didn't I cast three men in a fire? He said, the fourth one is in the form of the Son of God. Hey, honey, just because you can't see him don't mean he ain't in your trial this morning. Thank God he's in my trial. He said, hey, when I can't see him and I can't find him, he said, I know he's there, but I just ain't found him yet. Let me tell you something, friend. I was preaching the other day on Noah, one of the best thoughts I've ever seen the Holy Ghost give me yet. You remember when that ark stopped? And you notice this. God didn't tell him, come forth. He said, go forth. He is in there. Now, if I said, come out, boy, that mean I wasn't in there. But he is in his storm. He said, go out, boy. I'm in here with you. Ain't you glad you got a God that rides in the storm with you? Develops our faith. How many of you is your faith stronger this morning because of trouble? Not only is he developing faith, in verse 10, he's digging gold. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, boy, you ain't no count right now. But when I get you out of where I got you, you're going to be a great value to somebody else. I thank the Lord for those saints of God that stood the test of time. They went through the fire, through the trials, and now they've come forth purified as pure gold. You know, How they get pure gold? They put heat to it. And all infirmities ooze to the top and runs off. And there is pure gold. Boy, ain't it somehow God's a digging gold? Man, in your lives, in my life, He's getting gold out of us. Can I say this? He loves to spend us. Be careful. Say, God used me. And then when you feel used, you just got what we prayed for. He's developing faith. He's digging gold. Look in verse 12. He's depositing a word. He said, neither have I gone back from your commandments of your lips. I've esteemed your words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I got my Bible Friday morning out there on the back porch. And I cannot describe to you what the Word of God done in this preacher's heart. Listen, I had a refrigerator full of eggs. I had some of that good hot sausage. Somebody shout right now. I had some of them frozen Miss Sue B. biscuits. Y'all ever bought them down Wee Dowie? They're the second best thing you can do. Amen. But he said, you know what I found out? He said, your words of his mouth is more than my necessary food. When I got on the back porch and gotten this, it put something in me. What was in that refrigerator, Brother Joe, couldn't put in me. He said, I found in my trial your words was more than necessary food. Why don't you quit asking everybody what they think and see what God's got to say to you? He said, your word is more than necessary food. I wish to God in heaven we all thought as much of this book as God does. We spend so much time on Facebook. How much time's in the book? Boy, that computer, it so distracts us, don't it? I'm hooked on technology. Anybody hooked on technology? You ever notice when I'm talking to you and that thing vibrates? I can't stand it. I've got to say, who in the world this is now? I mean, ain't it amazing? He said, you know what? He said, this right here was better than what I had in the cabinets. This is better than what I had in the smokehouse in the pantry. And I've noticed when trouble comes, not only is he taking and he's developing our faith and digging gold, but he's depositing a word. It's amazing to me what I found out in the Word of God, because trials come. I got in the book. And look in verse 16, he's dealing with my heart. Oh, this is what I need. For God maketh my heart soft. And the Almighty troubleth me. You know, our problem is we're too hard-hearted. Boy, won't trials come by and soften your heart? You know, it amazes me, these old big raw-bone, old tough boys come by squalling and just a blubbering and a snotting all over you. That just tickles the far out of me. You know what that trouble's done? It softened your heart. He said, it's made my heart soft. You know, something, a cross has never intended us to drive us from God, but to bring us close to God. You know, those two thieves that hung on the cross of the Lord Jesus, one got saved, one died and went to hell. Now, I'm convinced, Brother Tim, I'm convinced the reason one boy went to heaven because God put a cross on him and it brought him to God. But I'm also convinced that the other boy got the same cross, took him from God. Crosses is to bring us to God and in His Word. Now I close with this morning. Not only do we see the description of trouble, the dispatch of trouble, and the design of trouble, but there's a distraction of trouble. And if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in the thorns and never see the roses. In Job 13 and verse number 13. He said, oh, now, something's happened to him. Brother Josh, I want you to get ready. I want you to come sing this morning. Something's happened. I want you to notice what's happened. Job says, hold ye peace, let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I'll maintain mine own ways before him. The distraction of trouble. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Lord, you took everything I've got. But he said, over yonder I was wishing I was a dying. But something's done happened to me now in this chapter. He's saying, let it come what will, because I know that you're doing it for my good. He said, Lord, whatever you do, I'm going to trust you. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Lord, we can't have children. Trust him. He may be keeping you from something that you never do know. Lord, you took one of my children. Trust him. He may be keeping you from things that you couldn't have abhorred. Lord, you took that job from me. Trust him. He's got something better for you. Lord, my family. Seem like all my friends is gone and my family is gone. Trust him. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. Quit looking at your trouble. And look at the one that's in trouble with you. He's never lost a battle. There's no night too dark for him, no valley too deep for him. He loves you. And the deliverance of trouble. Job said, I've heard about you. But chapter 42, he said, now I've seen you. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. This morning, Brother Josh is going to sing. I don't know what kind of trouble you got. But I can tell you this, the Lord knows. And you remember at the stirring of the water in the book of John, at the pool of Bethesda, old boy said, Lord, ain't nobody to put me in the water when it's a stir and said I can't get saved. He said, when the water's trouble. Jesus didn't stop the trouble. He just went in there and got in the trouble with him. Aren't you glad he's in our trouble this morning? Oh, God, help me to see you. Help me to trust you. While we sing, young'uns, you could.